And share God's word with you. I mean, you may be thinking you weren't asked, but you know, collectively, thank you so much. It's really so lovely to join with you. We're going to be reading Psalm 29, which in these blue church Bibles is page 558. It won't take you long when we start reading to realize that there's an image in this psalm. There's a kind of metaphor, a bit of poetry or something. It's that of a storm, not the kind of dank, dreary drizzle that we kind of get here in the UK, but a full-on storm. Sometimes here in the media, don't you, people, one of the only times the kind of the world around us uses the phrase biblical is when it comes to kind of natural disasters or something. They'll say like a flood of biblical proportions or a storm of biblical proportions, something like that. Have you ever heard that? It's kind of this kind of thing. So keep your ears open for the storm idea. It's about much more than a storm, as you'll quickly spot. But the imagery is that of a storm. Anyway, so page 558, I'm going to read Psalm 29. It's a psalm of David. It says this. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare, and in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. I feel louder than I normally do with this. Does it sound okay to you? It's okay? Fine. In this psalm, the voice of the Lord is compared to a storm. It is a storm, as we've just said, of biblical proportions. A storm, verse 3, that thunders over the mighty waters. That's something, isn't it? You've got words like powerful and majestic there in verse 4. In verse 5, the storm breaks the cedars into pieces. Cedars are these massive, strong trees that grew in Lebanon, in that region at that time. Huge. Broken into pieces by this storm. Just as a bored school kid would snap a pencil in half. Imagine that. Imagine that with a tree, a massive tree. That's the power of this storm. What can you do against that sort of power? It doesn't end there, though. Verse 6. Lebanon leaps up like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. These are places, these are whole regions, this imagery of kind of almost earthquake, kind of ground moving, sort of tremoring of the land even in the face of this storm. It's almost like the ground is moving, that the mountains can get washed away. Can you imagine that? Got lit up by dramatic lightning in verse 7. And then this storm, you kind of, if you follow the geography, it kind of moves around the country of Israel. So we've had Lebanon to the north, and the storm's kind of drifting around now towards the east and the south. We've got Kadesh, and the desert itself is shaken. It's dramatic, isn't it? Verse 9, twists the oaks, strips the forests bare. The oak trees left twisted by the winds, like a stick of Play-Doh in the hands of a toddler or something. Trees are stripped, looking like matchsticks, kind of dumped on the ground like that. This is frightening. This is a ferocious storm. We kind of struggle to imagine the awe and the terror, I guess, in a sense, that witnessing that sort of power must have been like. I've not experienced anything quite like Psalm 29. I guess the closest we came was not the kind of dreary drizzle of North London, but back in Uganda, where we were for a few years, you get some pretty cool storms there. It'd often kind of build up throughout the day. You'd have these brutally hot mornings, and you'd kind of feel around lunchtime or after lunch, you'd get this kind of electricity, this kind of static in the air, and the clouds, it'd go so dark, this kind of thick clouds, and you knew what was coming, and sure enough, it would break, and you'd get incredible rain. Some of you I know have experienced this in East Africa or other parts of the world. Incredible rain. And if I was teaching, we kind of had these classrooms with metal roofs, and you just had to stop. There's no way that you could hear over the sounds of the rain and the wind and the thunder. So you just stop. We just stopped for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 60 minutes. We all just sat there, couldn't do anything, couldn't talk. You just sit, really, wait for it to end. It was remarkable. And then when it was done, you know, the biggest of these storms, when it was done, you'd go out and see the damage. And, you know, trees were down, branches were broken off. And I remember once, I don't know if you kids remember, but we went out and a whole sheet of metal from our roof on our house had basically curled up. We're talking iron sheeting, had literally curled up like a cheese quaver in the strength of the wind and the storm. It was unbelievable. But even that is puny. It is puny compared to what we're seeing here in Psalm 29. This is a loud psalm. This is a ferocious storm. This isn't the kind of psalm that you read in a kind of gentle, peaceful kind of voice. This is a loud psalm. There's a preacher in the US called T.D. Jakes, and he does this thing where it's an app or something, and he does psalms to get you to sleep. And I'm not advocating for his ministry at all, and quite the opposite. But what he does have is a really deep voice, and when he kind of reads psalms in a very, very sort of peaceful way. Anyway, he does that for Psalm 29, and he kind of does it as a psalm to send you to sleep. But you read 29, and this is not a psalm to send you to sleep, however deep or soothing the voice. This is a raging, whirling psalm with kind of ear-splitting, lightning and thunder and shaking mountains and bringing down trees. It is not a psalm to send you to sleep. But of course, what's happening in Psalm 29, this isn't some kind of ode to a storm in a kind of, look how amazing that the storm is, or even some sort of tribute to creation in itself. It is so much more than that. It isn't a sense of how spectacular is our planet. It's not like that. It is much more. It is that to a point, but it's so much more than that. The psalmist is writing about the power and might of the storm because it is a signal, it is a signpost pointing to the power of the Lord God. And more specifically, actually, the voice of the Lord. Did you pick up on that when we were reading it over and over again, 7 times actually? The voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord thunders. The voice of the Lord is breaking the trees over and over. And of course, when we hear this idea of the voice of the Lord, it may be, or perhaps it should be in a sense, that if we're kind of keen biblical readers and thinkers, maybe we're going back to Genesis 1, right at the start of the Bible, where it is the voice of the Lord that kind of brings forth creation. in Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. God said, let there be land. It is the voice of the Lord. And so Psalm 29 is pointing us to the power of the Creator, not simply the creation. And we're not to get those two things mixed up. Obviously, you can't have a creation without a creator. And the creator, by definition, is above and must be above the creation. And so Psalm 29 is not trying to kind of tell us about the creation. It's trying to talk to us and teach us about the creator. This is a God-centered psalm. Now, there's no requests in the psalm. It's not one of those psalms, you know, please, Lord, do this. Please, Lord, I need that. We ask you of that. It's not like that. There's no requests here. It's not so much a prayer as such, not directly. It's more like a shout of praise to an all-powerful God. And so the Israelites, reading David's psalm here, are not to cry out, how awesome is the earth. They're rather to cry out, how glorious is our God, the Creator. As one writer puts it, this psalm is this storm, even in a sense, is a finger pointing to the glory of God. That's why at the end of verse 9, look at the end of verse 9 there, Psalm 29, the second half of that verse, all in his temple, what do they cry out? Glory. Shout it, what do they cry out? Glory. They've got it, haven't they? Even back in verse 1, ascribing glory and strength to the Lord. Verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. The magnificence and majesty of the creation means they give glory to the Creator. And that's right, they're spot on to do that. It's easy to get that wrong. It's easy to get that wrong, I think. It's easy to watch like a Nat Geo or David Attenborough kind of Planet Earth style documentary or something, the gazelles and the dolphins leaping out of the water and whatnot. And you're going to think, gosh, isn't the world amazing? Isn't the world majestic? And in a sense, of course, that's right. But we must go further than that, to look beyond the creation to the Creator himself. We're not to cry out glory to the cheetah chasing the gazelle or the killer whale. We're to cry out glory at the Creator behind it all. We must not glorify in the creation without giving glory to the Creator who made it all. It was earlier this year, we were out walking, I was in Southgate with the kids, and It was lovely. Kids are great for teaching you stuff about the Lord, aren't they? So it was one of those cold kind of winter mornings, but really blue sky, like that rich, amazing blue sky. Do you know the one? And I was just kind of like, oh, what a nice day. Isn't this lovely? And just kind of just enjoying it in and of itself. And it was our Chloe here who said, isn't God amazing? To sort of give us that deep, rich blue skies. And I thought, that's spot on, isn't it? My 11-year-old teaching me, absolutely right, to look to the Creator behind the creation. It is good to be, in a sense, impressed and amazed and awestruck and wowed by the world around us. But actually, the most important thing is to ascribe glory due to the one behind it, the Creator behind it. He is powerful. He is far beyond us. And when we realize that he is the one behind the storm of Psalm 29, the power of that storm, that is pointing to the power of the Lord. And that should make us feel very small and very puny in comparison. Very small. We should kind of feel that when we read Psalm 29. I think we live in a society here where I think kind of the world around us, and particularly businesses, I think, trying to sell us stuff, are always trying to tell us how big and mighty and great and glorious we are, because that's what sells. It's a kind of method to get us to buy something. L'Oreal, because you're worth it. Is that from like just my childhood? Are they still going with that slogan? I don't know. But if you're my age, you might. Are they still going with it? Are they? Because you're worth it. Oh, thank you, L'Oreal. It's kind of it's trying to sell us stuff by saying you're great, you're mighty, you're brilliant, you're powerful. The iPhone, the iPad, the iWatch, I. It all revolves around me, doesn't it? Which company has the slogan? Or maybe it was years ago. I don't know. I'm an old man, but I don't know whether it's still the case. Live for now. Which company? It's Pepsi. Maybe that was before your time. Find your greatness. Which company is that? Nike. Someone. Did you say that? No. Someone. So you're not old. find your greatness. If it's not now, it certainly was Nike's kind of main slogan. That's interesting, isn't it? Find your greatness. You're worth it. There's a sense in which there's all these stories in our world around us and the culture around us trying to say, you are great, Chris. You are so great. And of course, I enjoy that, don't we all? But what Psalm 29 is doing is kind of decentering us, taking us off the center stage and rightly redirecting that onto the Lord. That true power is in him and from him. It is not, true power is not found in our presidents or our prime ministers or our bosses or our tech billionaires or ourselves. It is real power is in the Lord. It belongs to him. And so the right response for us is actually to feel quite small. I think Psalm 29, we should feel quite small in a sense when we read a psalm like this. And that kind of stings, that sting of smallness, that kind of pinch of puniness. I think that is right to feel that, to be humbled by God's power, by God's glory, reminded of our own inability to control what we wish we could control, despite being told you're worth it, you're great. Actually, Psalm 29 says, no, if you're looking for greatness, don't look in yourself. Look out. Look to the Lord. That's where true greatness is found. That's where glory is, in him. And it's that sting of smallness that I think just decenters us, takes us off the center stage. And I think when we feel that smallness, that is a gateway to all kind of good things. It kind of stings, but actually, I think that's very good for us. It opens the door to humility and patience and empathy. Let me explain why. Because if we think we're at the center of everything, and it kind of strength and control is in us, then we demand the glory for ourselves, because that's kind of what's in us. We exchange the creator for the creation. We ask others to kind of organize their lives around us, because we think, well, I'm at the center. I'm deserving of this glory. You need to kind of revolve yourselves around me. Why aren't you putting me at the center of everything like I do myself? I see that in me sometimes. I kind of feel that. I don't know whether you experience that a bit in yourselves. And then what happens? We get cross. We get cross when things don't go our own way. When we don't receive the praise and glory that we think we deserve because we're worth it, we get cross. We get impatient when others don't meet our expectations or make us look bad. We become harsh in our families when we don't get what we think we deserve. We get angry with other kids at school or teachers because they're not putting us and our needs at the center as much as we want them to be. We get angry when things don't go our own way because we think we're at the center. The Psalm 29, that storm, that Lord that shakes the desert, it shakes us. The storm that breaks the cedar trees breaks us. That storm which strips the forests bare, strips us bare in a sense. How tiny I am compared to the power of the Lord in Psalm 29. How small we are. And we're to feel that. We're to feel that sting of smallness in our lives. We're not masters around here. We're not in control. We're not as great as perhaps we think we are. We need to shed ourselves of that fantasy and ascribe glory to the Lord, Him and Him alone. I find that hard. Particularly in this day and age and in this culture where everything is sort of so easy for us, isn't it? In 21st century UK, in a sense. We call out our shopping list to our robotic servant, Alexa, who feeds it into our phone, which we read it on our watches and buy it on our bank app and have it delivered to our door. And we've got AI and VR headsets and all sorts of stuff coming in the coming years that kind of entrenches even more that sense that we are at the center, kind of feeds that fantasy. Find your greatness. Who doesn't want to be king or queen of their own little world? So we ascribe glory to ourselves. I imagine the Israelites reading David's psalm here, like so many of us today, felt their smallness in the light of this psalm. When we were in Uganda, I think we learned a lot from the students we taught there. Because I think in Uganda, people live, my students there lived, without that kind of sense of I can control everything that many of us have here in this culture. You know, without the technology and the insurance and the NHS and economic stability and a government safety net, at least to a point, and an ambulance service and those kind of things. Without any of those things, strip it away like in Uganda. And it's much harder to think of ourselves as powerful and mighty and worthy of glory. I learned a lot from brothers and sisters in Uganda over that. What it means to decenter myself, to feel that sting of smallness, to relegate my own name, my own fame, and ascribe glory and strength to the Lord. They taught me a lot about that. This week ahead, what about us? What about you? Can we look for ways that our culture around us is telling us that we're to ascribe glory and strength to ourselves? Just look out for it. Look out for adverts or stories around us that say we're great, we're in control. Try to spot them. Let's try to root them out. Let's try to catch ourselves in the act of kind of promoting and elevating ourselves instead of the Lord. And let's reascribe that glory back onto God. Him, Him, Him. Step back a bit. Where have we got to in the psalm? Okay, so we've seen that Psalm 29 is ascribing glory to God alone as a result of understanding His power and His might and His splendor and His strength, which is kind of portrayed through the imagery of that mighty storm. So that's where we've got to, okay? But I want us to look in these final few minutes at that last verse. I don't know if you notice this. It kind of feels a bit different, doesn't it? Verse 11. Look at it with me. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. That final verse, it's much quieter, isn't it? In a sense, after the deafening roar of the tree-twisting, branch-snapping, ground-shaking previous 10 verses, suddenly there's this sense of quiet, this sense of peace. Because what does the Lord do in this verse with this phenomenal power at His disposal? What does He do? To what end does He employ that kind of power? The answer is so beautiful. He gives strength to His people, and He blesses His people with peace. Wow. Can you feel the calm of that final verse? The strength of God that is so mesmerizingly displayed in that mighty storm is deployed here for His people who belong to Him. For those who cry out glory to Him. For those who worship and give honor to Him. That great power of God is used for His people. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Many, many years ago, a group of men were traveling on a boat. 13 men. A terrible storm descended on them. 12 of the men cried out in panic. But the 13th was a man called Jesus. Remarkably, unbelievably, the New Testament tells us that Jesus was sleeping during that mighty storm. He managed it. T.G. Jakes may struggle to get us to sleep to Psalm 29 in that storm, but Jesus slept through such a storm. And when the disciples wake him in panic, and he stands and admits the roar of the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the deafening noise of the waves and the wind, Jesus calls out to the storm, "Peace, be still." Can you imagine the silence that follows as that storm suddenly just calms? As Jesus, the Creator, spoke to his creation, as the voice of the Lord stilled that storm, sovereign over it. Can you imagine that? Amidst the power of the raging storm, what did Jesus do? He blessed his people with peace. And as you imagine being there on that boat all those years ago, as we hear the raging storm of Lake Galilee instantaneously transformed into this kind of gentle, quiet sloshing of water against the side of the boat, we can enjoy that same peace that is available to us through Jesus Christ. It's like that is a kind of tangible kind of sense of verse 11 of Psalm 29 there on that lake on that day. The Lord brings peace to his people. I don't know about you. You look at the news around us today and there's chaos, isn't there? There's chaos. Maybe we ask, where can peace be found today? Where can we find peace? Who has the power not only over the political and economic and cultural and social upheavals that we're seeing in our world as we look globally, but also who can bring peace over that kind of inward turmoil and strife and stress that I think many of us feel and sense in ourselves as well? Where is peace to be found today? When we're feeling overwhelmed by the demands of life, relationships, marriage, paying bills, parenting, job hunting, school life, so much more. Where is peace to be found? In Jesus. His burden is light. We're freed from the stress. In Christ, we're freed from the stress of trying to prove ourselves as the center of everything. Instead of glory to me, it's glory to him. We're freed from that demand to get everything right, to meet everyone's expectations, to have everything revolve around me. Peace. Peace. When we're feeling miserable in our failures, I feel that to you sometimes, just miserable with shortcomings and failures. Having neglected again this week to fight some of those patterns of sin and wrongdoing that can just seem so prevalent in our lives, so hard, that burden of that wrongdoing. When we failed to delight and enjoy Jesus this week as we know we wanted to do and intended to do, but sometimes have failed to do as we've looked away from him, sometimes barely given him much thought amongst the busyness of the week, let alone kind of prayer and worship of him daily. When we think of that, where do we turn? To Christ. See him on the cross, blooded and beaten and battered and bruised, but not conquered. Hanging there, we see his love demonstrated perfectly. And we can enjoy his forgiveness, his peace. we come to Jesus. His burden is light. We enjoy that forgiveness, that peace that he offers to all who trust in him. Where can peace be found? In Christ. And so it is to Jesus, the divine Son of God, who we turn to for strength, for peace. No longer do we have to pretend that we're masters of our own fate, that we're in control of our own lives and environment. No longer do we have to conduct ourselves and our families and work life and even church life with this kind of brusque, intolerant impatience or this kind of desire for control, want everything to revolve around me. Instead, we look to Jesus. We turn to him. We come to him daily. We see his greatness and we feel our own smallness. And like the psalm, we ascribe all glory to him. We worship him alone and we enjoy the peace of the Lord that we receive from him when we know him and trust him. Isn't that a lovely thought? And so, friends, I need to finish, but may that be something to bring into our week ahead. That Psalm 29, feeling the power of the Lord, feeling that sting of our own smallness, but ascribing glory to him, that we might enjoy the blessing of peace that comes from God through Jesus Christ for all who belong to him. Let's pray. Our loving Lord and Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the peace which is found in him and only in him. Lord, we recognize how commonly we want to ascribe glory to ourselves, that we try to promote ourselves, that we believe the lies of the world around us. We want to be at the center of everything. Lord, please may Psalm 29 remind us of your majesty. May we feel the sting of our smallness, and may that lead us to the cross, where in Christ most supremely and beautifully we find peace and forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that this week, amidst all the turmoil in the world and probably for many of us turmoil in ourselves, we pray, Lord, that we would find the peace of the Lord in Christ, as we turn to him, trust in him, as his burden is light, may we enjoy him and delight in him in the week ahead. And we pray that in his name. Amen. Friends, we'll just have a moment of quiet and the bands will come up. They're going to lead us in our final song, God's the Uncreated One. If there is something that you've seen in Psalm 29 or in the service today that you'd like to think about, pray about with someone, there will be a couple of folk down here at the end of the service who will be very happy to talk with you and pray with you about anything that you'd like to respond to from the Lord. But let's stand when the band start up and sing together.
Space and time, and find. Joy.